Welcome to Two Pizza Marketing, the podcast for small team marketers with hosts Melissa Moody and Ashley McGovern. You might have heard about the two pizza rule, which says the most agile, effective team meetings are ones that are small enough to only need two pizzas for the meeting. Let's get into the marvelous mess that is two pizza marketing. Hello, two pizza marketers. Thanks for tuning in this week. I am here with Mary Keough, who is the head of marketing at Map My Customers. She previously was with Gorilla 76, which is an industrial marketing agency. And I have just been following her for the last 6 months on LinkedIn because she's been sharing a lot of her tactics, her strategies with being a new head of marketing at a B2B tech company. So Mary, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Ashley. I'm super excited to be here. I love the way that your podcast is structured with just like really practical advice for marketers. I think that that's really sorely lacking in the B2B space right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Very sweet of you. Well, why don't you give a little insight into your career trajectory so far?
Yeah, for sure. So I started I would put air quotes around career. I started at a company called Spraying Systems, so big B2B industrial company. I was probably like 25, 26. So after college, I was an English major and thought I was going to be a college professor. So I was in a PhD program, like the whole nine yards. I spent basically half a semester in it. And I was like, what am I doing here? So basically took 2 years and just took odd freelancing, editing jobs, writing jobs, like anything that I could take basically. And then finally picked up this full-time job as a technical writer for this B2B company. So wrote a lot of educational pieces because at that company, we only hired engineers, which is really cool. So we really wanted our salespeople to be really technically savvy. But the cool thing is you graduate with an engineering degree, you know a lot about engineering, you know a lot about the tech pieces, but you might not know anything about our product. So the actual product itself. So I was in charge of creating and editing all of the material that would train these sales engineers on the actual product. So had a great time with that, had an amazing boss who just kind of saw something in me and, you know, challenged me to take on a couple other responsibilities, like some business development stuff. And when I say business development, it's like email campaigns or doing some customer facing webinars. Like he just really wanted me to like get in front of customers and talk to them, which I really appreciated. Started doing a lot of stuff with that. So with talking to customers, customer events, and then COVID hit. So all of those events obviously shut down. So my idea was, hey, let's publicize this. Let's make a big webinar series. So we did that. It was super, super successful. So then corporate marketing, because this was a fairly large company, really liked what I was doing and said, hey, do you want to come over to the corporate marketing side? And I said, heck yeah, you know, really cool opportunity. And I really liked the stuff that they were doing over there. Got a little bit of an insight into like corporate infrastructure, quickly figured out that it probably wasn't for me, but I was willing to stay in it for a year or two and just to get some, you know, really good experience. And then Joe Sullivan and Matt Shinella, who was at Gorilla 76 at the time, started looking at some of the stuff I was posting on LinkedIn, like way early days. Oh, wow. When like five people would like my post. They reached out and asked if I was looking or considering any other positions. And I said, yes, ended up working there for 18 months. And then the founder here at Map My Customers reached out to me and the rest is history.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I saw one of your posts where you were talking about the questions that you asked leadership because you loved your role at Gorilla 76 and it would take a lot for you to switch over. But I'd love to know a little bit about agency life versus B2B life.
Yeah, for sure. So agency life is incredibly fun, but there's of course pros and cons. So the culture at Gorilla 76 is amazing, like top notch, everything you'd want, like very supportive. But you know, the trade-off is you have to be really freaking good at marketing to work there. So it's a smaller company. They you know, get to pick and choose the companies that they work with, because a lot of companies want to work with them, which is really neat. So they're kind of boutique on purpose. So incredibly talented team. So you're exposed to a lot of knowledge, which is really cool. And the companies you work with are awesome. But as an agency, you're still, you kind of lack this inherent trust with a client because you don't work with them. So I really did miss the in-house experience where you just get to like kind of really get your hands dirty and dive deep within a single company. You know, because we were a demand gen agency, we were limited on what we could do. So we didn't do email, for example, or we found out you would really have to outsource a podcast, for example, or a webinar series, because it would just get too big for Gorilla 76 to take on in and of itself and not have a lot of input from the company, because we're working with very, very small marketing teams. So I did kind of miss that creative aspect where I just could like do whatever I wanted, get my hands dirty, figure out some stuff, see if it worked. And, you know, I was kind of feeling that, but I also loved my role, as I said, in that job. So when Matt Sniff reached out, I was both excited and also very skeptical, because I also know what it's like to work in-house too. And there's another layer of inherent trust you have to earn with leadership, right? So especially leadership who might be skeptical of marketing, or they haven't done a ton of marketing in the past, so they don't really understand the concept of it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I had a lot of conversations with them. I think I say that in the LinkedIn post. Mm-hmm. We had like 7 total conversations. I met everyone on the senior leadership team, had multiple conversations with Matt, the founder, and then did like a big meeting with all 5 of the senior leadership team members. So I made sure I did my due diligence.
You did your research, as I think people should. Something that you mentioned, I wanted to revisit, which was executive buy-in, and it was in that post. As a marketer, I do think like you have to like build trust. And it seems like you did that with Matt because you had worked with him previously. Can you tell me a little bit more about ways in which over the last 6 months that you've been at Matt My Customers, how you've been able to do that? Like how you're measuring marketing in a way and telling that story to them that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So during the pre-session, so before I was hired there, I really wanted to get an idea of how the company went to market now, how they wanted to go to market, because if they felt like the way that their current motion, they didn't feel like it was working as well as it could. So I said, okay, that's great. That means you're open to new ways of thinking about it. Really excited about that. So did a lot of like what's working, what's not, did a lot of education. So if you feel like this isn't working and you've tried it, here's how I would bring your product to market. Here's exactly what I would do. And here's how I've seen it done really well with other companies. So they were kind of bought into that process in the beginning. So that was like the pre. So they're like, yay, Mary's strategy, love it. Like, let's do it. So then when I got into Matt My Customers, this is like a really key important piece. I think that a lot of maybe new marketing leaders, but maybe just new marketers in general, when they're trying to get executive buy-in, is you have to put points on the board. And points doesn't have to be leads and pipeline necessarily. It can just be a little bit of like doing what you said you were going to do. So I'll give like a really specific example. I said I wanted to do customer research, and I knew that their website was not telling a very good story about who Matt My Customers was and the problems they solve for their customers. So the first thing I had to do was like find out what problems it solved through customer research. So did a lot of research with current customers, listening in on sales demos, and then listening in on training sessions and onboarding. So when a new customer would sign on and they're learning all about the product, and found out, you know, narrowed it down to like 5 problems that that kept coming up that Matt My Customers was solving for these sales leaders. And that's how I built the use cases on our website. So if you go to our website right now, mattmycustomers.me, and you go to features, you'll see 5 features listed right there. And I have use cases for all of those just pulled straight from customer use case stories. So that was like one big point on the board that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with leads or pipeline or revenue, but it showed, I told them I was going to listen to customers and I was going to bring product marketing to map my customers to really show the value of the product and how we could position it within the market. And within 30 days, I did that. So I think that's like a really big one, like just tactically.
Yeah, definitely getting points on the board, I think, is essential for new marketers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about product marketing, which I think goes hand in hand with some of the things that we're going to talk about with your marketing mess and more like practical advice around just ways to go about that mess. So we might as well just get right into it. Will you, share your marketing messes?
Yeah, so I have like one big mess, I would say. Big is, you know, hindsight's 2020, so I'm sure it's not really that big, but it feels really big to me now because like your first big mess at a new company kind of stands out. So the first big mess is we really wanted to do an ABM campaign to test our assumption of product market fit. So we thought we had this really good fit with automotive, right? And so we built this list. We used just, you know, Zoom info, a couple filters with like industries and headcount and all that good stuff. I'm sure plenty of people know exactly what I'm talking about. And we found out very quickly that automotive is incredibly structured as an industry. And so is their supply chain. So they have what's called tier 1, 2, 3 dealers or companies, and they have very specific roles in that automotive supply chain. So tier 1, we basically found out was more than half our list, and they had zero value that they could extract from our product. Like it was just no way relevant to their business at all. So that's like one big marketing mess that we had really early on. And then smaller mess is like, as a new marketing leader, we're building this engine. So I'm doing a lot of kind of the execution on my own, including we have like a webinar series that we're running and we send out the recording after every episode, you know, typical marketing stuff. And of course, like sent a big one to like 5,000 people. And it didn't have the link in it. So it's just like stuff that, you know, definitely happened early on in my career, but is still happening today.
I know that many marketers can relate to doing that, myself included.
And I totally had to send the, oh, sorry, we forgot the link in the last email.
Yes. And that email probably had the most open rates just to like, you know,
oh, it every totally marketer. Did. Yeah. It was like double the open rate of the previous email. Yes.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember I had to send a couple, or actually two, where I was like, oops, we actually had a typo or we didn't have the link attached to that. And it always had a higher open rate.
And you're like, it's just the worst feeling as a marketer too. And especially me as like, you know, the only marketer and the marketing leader, it's just like, oh man, like total facepalm.
Yep. Well, earlier before we started recording, I wanted to think about your pillar content that you've talked about on LinkedIn a few different times. I know webinar series is like a part of that, but you said that you had like two main ones. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what I wanted to build here at Map My Customers was something really small that we could prove out, but could also scale. And the way that I explained it was pillar content. So they had already had a podcast before I came on and they were interviewing current customers and like the content was gold. It was so good. It was like basically free customer research. And what they hadn't done yet was, you know, make those into case studies. And this is so funny too. When we did that big strategy session I was talking about, they were like, yeah, we don't get a lot of podcast downloads. So we're thinking about killing the podcast. And I was like, you cannot kill the podcast. The podcast is like one of your best pieces of content. Like you cannot kill it. So we didn't kill it. We kept it. And so I was like, the podcast is a pillar content. So what we can do with the podcast is create a long form content piece. So the first thing I did was we were interviewing a lot of current customers. So I really wanted to make those into case studies if it was a really good interview. So I was like, okay, podcast becomes a case study. That case study now becomes fuel for demand gen efforts. So mainly like LinkedIn and Facebook campaigns. So there you go. Pillar content right there. Podcast becomes a video, which becomes micro clips, which becomes a case study, which we can push out onto social media. So that was one example of our pillar content piece. And then I also wanted to add in some point of view, POV episodes with the head of sales and myself, where we could really control the narrative and talk about a relevant problem or topic or industry trend in outside sales, which is really the industry we're playing in. So we started doing that. And that again becomes a video, a blog article, which becomes like mini social posts. Our employees can use it, which they have before, and we can push it out on organic and paid. So just creating this big thing so that doesn't take a lot of effort, but fuels so much of all the other ways that we want to distribute content to our market. So that's just one example. And then I talked a little bit about those features pages, same concept. So really wanted to take customer research, put it into product positioning, make it relevant for our market. So really hone in on the very specific problems that we solve and the value that solving those problems can bring just on those website pages. And then we would create campaigns based on that. So it would be either on a value prop or a specific feature or a specific problem, and then push it out onto LinkedIn and Facebook. And that's really all we're doing right now. Like I told Ashley, that's probably where 80 to 90% of my time is spent right now.
Wow. And you're a one woman team, marketing team, but you freelance some of the post production for the podcast, right?
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. So I have
a
podcast agency who does the micro clips for me and then publishes everything.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that's a lot when I like hear it out loud, but I'm like, all of our marketers that are listening to this are doing very similar things. So I love that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, totally.
One question with the point of view. I think right now a lot of companies are trying to figure out their point of view and how they, that like a unique point of view and how they can center their content around that. So I would love to know if you've done this one, and then two, like how you went about doing that.
Yeah. So I used Winter, Wynter. If you go on their website in their, I think they have a free messaging workshop, and it's like 6 or 7 courses. The course, like courses, quote unquote, they're like 7 minutes long. They're really short, really easy to consume in like half a day. And part of that was how to build a strategic narrative. So it literally breaks down exactly how to find, dig up, and then define your point of view as a company. And I got our leadership team together and I was like, hey, I just want you guys to talk about each of these 5 or 7 parts. I don't remember exactly how it went, but it's like, where do you see the world now? Our world is in outside sales. Where do you see it going? How do you see our product fitting in? And where do you see the product going in the future? That's kind of like the big overarching concept, but that Winter course goes in even more tactically in detail. And I just sat there and took notes and let the leadership team just like spill out everything. So this was like people who are touching customers a lot, customer success, product, engineering, and sales. And they were just spilling out all of this stuff on what problems our customers have, like where they want to be, the problems they're experiencing now. And that really built all of our point of view content.
Oh, I love that. I did a similar exercise with our leadership team at Real Inc. My marketing director and myself sat in and we like ran this like branding exercise. We were trying to figure out our pillar content at the time, which for us was like, what are their pain points and how are we solving them with our different features? And we were trying to like feature map those things.
Yes.
To figure out like what's the narrative around it. And just, and we did a similar thing where we just sat back and let them all talk about it. And we were just like taking notes frantically because we're like, this is gold hearing them, just like getting them in the room and talking. Well, this is good. I want to stay on strategic narrative because I feel like not only are you doing that at Map My Customers, but I feel like you're doing that similar for your personal brand. And I know we only have a couple minutes left here, but can you tell me a little bit more about how you've done that on your personal brand on LinkedIn?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll talk a little bit about how I got started on LinkedIn and then how my point of view kind of evolved over time. So I will never forget this. I was sitting in, this is back when I worked at Spraying Systems. I sat in on a webinar with Chris Walker. He was doing, I think at the time it was State of Demand Gen, and he was doing like a breakdown of LinkedIn. And I was like eating up everything he said. And, you know, I'm like a new marketer, so I'm have major imposter syndrome, but I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to ask him a question. Like right here, we're live, might as well do it. And it was, I'm a new marketer. So how do I post if I don't feel like I have anything to talk about? And he was like, well, you just have to work in public. So talk about exactly what you're working on and why, and then talk about what kind of impact that's having on you, the marketing department, the company, whatever. And I was like, okay. So I just started posting on stuff I was doing. And that's really what caught the attention of Matt Shinella and Joe Sullivan at Gorilla 76. They really liked everything I was saying. And as I was exposed to more companies in the B2B industrial space, I started to see, you know, everything we're talking about. You start to see the same problems come up over and over and over again. You start to see the same responses to problems come up over and over and over again. And that really became the fuel for my content on LinkedIn. So it really became this like, oh, how is Mary like being this countercultural, which it didn't feel like at the time. I felt like I was just saying things that I was hearing in the market and how we were responding as a company. But it was received as very like, wow, this is like revolutionary concept. So mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. Actually, I like that.
That's awesome. I mean, I love it that you've been building in public because I think it really does help some of us new marketers. And I really admire like Chris Walker, Dave Gearhart, Devin Reed, you, people that haven't wavered from your strategic narrative and like really stuck to like discussing B2B marketing problems.
Yeah, of course. It was like, I just do exactly what I wish I would have had at when I was a new marketer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's transition to the last question, which is what tool could you not live without in order to do your job?
Okay. So there's kind of like, I'm going to answer it in two different ways. I promise it's not a cop out. I'll do like a tool, like a legitimate software tool. Okay. And then I'll do kind of a tool slash like a framework that that I really enjoy. Okay. So the tool I couldn't live without is definitely LinkedIn. Not only because of my personal brand, but also because it's what we run everything out of. Mm-hmm. So we really build all of our organic social out of LinkedIn. We use Campaign Manager a lot. Our sales team uses Sales Navigator to kind of hone in on those like ABM targets. So LinkedIn is definitely the tool, software tool I couldn't live without. As far as a framework, it would definitely be April Dunford in her book, Obviously Awesome, does breaks down in such a practical, useful way, like exactly how to position a product and company. She has this big 5-step framework. That framework is absolutely amazing. And within that is something you actually mentioned, Ashley, which is the feature benefit value mapping. So really taking your feature, mapping it to a benefit, and then defining what the value of that benefit is for your customer. So that framework is amazing. The whole book is amazing, but really built most of the product marketing that I've done here at Map My Customers and for other companies using that.
I love those. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've really enjoyed this time. Can you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can find you?
Yeah, please find me on LinkedIn, Mary Keough, K-E-O-U-G-H. DM me anytime. That's how Ashley got in contact with me. I answer most of them as long as they're not a sales pitch. So if you ever want advice or help with anything, just DM me on LinkedIn.
All right. Thanks, listeners. Melissa will be back next week. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please, please, please leave us a review. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, Two Pizza Marketers. If you liked the episode, it would mean a lot to us if you take the time to leave a review. And if you have any questions or topics to suggest, we're always happy to hear from you. So send us an email at pizzamarketers@gmail.com. And until next time, keep having fun and try to stay sane in the marvelous mess that is Two Pizza Marketing.